There's good. Say it. Stand up and say it again, man.
Right here.
Yeah, buddy, right there. Well, actually, you need to say that, but you get the picture. Hallelujah. Isn't it great to be alive? What a beautiful, wonderful Palm Sunday. Today, my message will not be your typical Palm Sunday sermon. Of course, anything I preach isn't typical, pretty much. If you've been around here, you know that. How many know that today is a day in which we are celebrating? You know, next week will be Easter, and we will be celebrating the resurrection. But as we read the account, for example, in all of the Gospels, we see that. The account where Jesus, it's interesting to me that he had just got through raising a dead man named Lazarus. And the crowds now, they are hyped. Who is this man? This has to be him. We see his triumphal entry into Jerusalem. For example, in Matthew, if you want to, you know, find a place, you want to look, Matthew 21, for example, 1 through 11, you see where he's coming into Jerusalem. And the people now, the fervor is burgeoning, and people are excited, and many on the fringes are being caught into the whole thing. As he makes his way in, as was prophesied, into Jerusalem on a donkey, palms and clothing cast before him as he walks in, and they hail him, Hosanna, 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 blessed is he who comes, just as it had been prophesied, blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. It's interesting to me that when he gets to Jerusalem, if you read the story, one of the first things that he does is he casts the money changers out of the temple. Now, I don't mean to read more into the story than should be there, but I think that everything that is in Scripture, just as Jesus said, is speaking of the story of redemption. John 3:16, how many can quote it with me? For God so loved the world. Some of us believers better get it right. Get off of our political high horses. Get off of our self-righteous high horses. Get off of whatever other high horse you might be on and realize that God loves the world that some of you are tempted to hate, and he still has a plan for that world that we are tempted to hate. For God so loved the world, come on, you hear today, that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in him would not perish, but have everlasting life. I don't know where the church got off, but they forgot the next verse, which says, God sent not his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him. If you know those two verses and you've got a hold of that truth, you have something to preach. If you got those two verses and you got a hold of that, you've got something to preach. How many in here can announce to somebody around you something that God has done for you recently? Days, weeks, months, last few years, big things God has done. If you got that central truth down and you've got a story to tell, tell somebody.
Amen.
And as the comical, as the video that we saw, I love those guys. They are hilarious. As they so comically illustrated, we've got good news to announce. Not a big red egg. We've got good news. For God sent not his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. The sacrifice for your sin and my sin and for the world's sin has already been paid. How many are thankful for that today? All we got to do is put our faith in him. Only believe. We're talking about faith. I want to encourage you too. I don't know if, did they mention, I know they mentioned Damiana's in here for the video, but he's got a need right now. Did they mention the specific need? He's got a need right now. He's got two works. Let me just put this before you. And those of you that have not been with us on a regular basis know this is something that we almost never do. As you notice, we don't pass an offering plate. We all worship as the Lord leads us with our tithes and offerings. And there's a box right back there in the middle. That's it. I'm so glad God spoke to me years ago about that. There's no cover charge. Give freely, and I'll take care of the rest. But a special need like this, he had a property that was given to him by his grandmother as a gift. And then there's another property down the coast where we were at several years ago. I'm forgetting now how long it was that we were down there. A couple years, something like that. And anyway, the property where his grandmother had given him, when they started raising up when they started preparing the ground and putting in a foundation, there was a neighbor that began to really, really get irate and get angry and say that property belonged to him. So they got into obviously there was a disagreement. They apparently went to the city, which it was all locked in stone. This is something that had belonged to his grandmother forever. They got that straightened out, but now this man has made it very, very difficult. Has tried to bring other people in. What they need to happen, and this is not pressure, I'm not manipulating, I'm just letting you know what he told me the way it is. He said, we need to get this up and built, and then it's done and nothing can be done. He said, but I've sold one of our mission cars. Didn't tell me that. So one of the mission cars to go into this work, one of the vehicles that he uses, he said, we've done everything we can do, Pastor Lee. And he said, I'm embarrassed, but he said, we're against the wall. And he said, I knew that I could turn to you. Even if you didn't have the wherewithal, you could believe with me. That was his phone call. And we're talking about a measly $1,200 that'll put another church on the map in Mexico in a very, very needy area. How many know that this morning, if we put our faith and our effort together, we can surpass that piece of cake? So we're talking about a matter of $1,200. And this man is, my dad often refers to him, he's a modern day Apostle Paul, burning it up. I mean, he's got, many of you don't know his testimony, I'll give it to you in a nutshell. He spent 8 years in prison, supposed to spend 10 years in prison, was a part of the drug cartel, smuggled cocaine, among other things. Spent 8 years in prison, got born again before he went, so that you understand what the kind of guy he is. He got born again before he went to prison and gave himself up on purpose. That's why he went to prison. Then he went to prison for 8 years. There were such revivals in the major prisons of Mexico, they kept moving him to new prisons because of the uprisings and all that was going on in the jails. The Lord really used him. I mean, there are stories and pictures of him baptizing hundreds of guys in the jails. Now, here's the interesting part. Dad and I got to go witness this. A number of the new works that he raised up when he got out of prison, he just got out and said, I'm going to do my life as God's, and that's it. He started burning it up in a very, very rough, rough area. This is outside of Huatulco. It's all, you can still go there today. Opium plants, what do they call them? The great big opium poppies are still in places all throughout the countryside. Still all the issue is there. I mean, it's a very messed up place. The government's gone in and driven a lot of that out. They haven't provided anything in its wake. So poverty is terrible among the Zapotec Indians. And this guy, that's where he's doing the work, in some really, really tough places. Most of his converts at one point, and I don't know where he's at now, but 80% of his converts were brand new, first time, never heard the gospel before, believers. Dad and I got to go in some places where we interpreted through Zapotec. Through Spanish and the Zapotec to the people that we're visiting with. So this guy's really out there where the rubber meets the road. Tremendous, tremendous guy. At that time, there are other works. I don't know the exact count now. At that time, there were well over 20. I think 27 is the number that comes to mind. Out of those, the majority of those churches were being pastored or at least watched over, cared for by ex-prisoners that he had led to the Lord while he was in prison. When they got out, they didn't know where else to go, so they came to him and said, what can we do to help? So now a lot of his work is, they are ex-prisoners. That's why my dad says he's a modern-day Apostle Paul. Isn't that cool? So this is Damian Cruz. Please pray for Damian, for the work that he's doing there. And again, we've got a piece of cake. I think that I'm going to do something personally. We can do something as a church. And all of you, if you want to do something towards that end, I'd love to just bless his socks off. Maybe not just cover one, but get both of those churches in. Doing a tremendous work. And I love what he's doing because he's reaching the unreached, as well as still has this ministry to prisoners. And so it's a tremendous thing. At any rate, did you enjoy the video? Tremendous guy. You'll never know. He's so humble. You'll never know. But that guy is an absolute unceasing workhorse for the gospel and is certainly worthy of our love and our prayers. Father, we thank you today for Damian, that you lift him, strengthen him. We thank you for your grace on his life and that you meet every provision according to your riches and glory by Christ Jesus. Amen and amen. I had to get that done. Now we can get back to my message. I find it interesting. Can we go back? I find it interesting that he raises a dead man before he enters Jerusalem. When he gets in there, one of the first things that he does is he cleans the temple. Isn't that amazing? And there is, correct me if I'm wrong, is it a leper? Help me. Is it a leper that is healed? Somebody look real quick. It all happens quickly. Why don't we just turn there? How about that? Wasn't planning on it. We'll just go there. Let's turn to the account in Matthew chapter 21. You can read there the account. And when they drew nigh, verse 1, Matthew 21, when they drew nigh into Jerusalem, there and were come to Bethphage unto the Mount of Olives, then sent Jesus two disciples, saying unto them, go into the village over against you, and straightway ye shall find an ass tied and a colt with her. Loose them and bring them unto me, and if any man say aught unto you, ye shall say, the Lord hath need of them, and straightway he will send them. All this was done that it might be fulfilled, which was spoken of by the prophet, saying, tell ye the daughter of Zion, behold, thy king cometh unto thee, meek and sitting upon an ass and a colt, at the foal of an ass. And the disciples went and did as Jesus commanded them, and brought the ass and the colt, and put them on their clothes, put on them their clothes, and they set him thereon. And a very great multitude spread their garments in the way. Others cut down branches from the trees and strawed them in the way. And the multitudes went before and that followed, cried, saying, Hosanna to the Son of David. Blessed is he that cometh in the name of the Lord. Hosanna in the highest. And when he was come into Jerusalem, all the city was moved, saying, who is this? And the multitude said, this is Jesus, the prophet of Nazareth of Galilee. And when Jesus went into the temple of God and cast out all them that sold and bought in the temple, overthrew the tables, the money changers, the seats of them that sold doves, and said unto them, it is written, my house shall be called the house of prayer, but ye have made it, that's Isaiah 56, if you want to know where he's pulling that from, but ye have made it a den of thieves, and the blind and the lame came to him. There we go. I was mistaken either way. The blind and the lame came to him in the temple, and he healed them. So he raises a dead man, is heralded as a prophet from Nazareth. People are whispering, this is him. This is him. But here's the deal. Israel, as was prophesied, would reject the key chief cornerstone. Their heart's desire. Now, we're not hating on the Jews. Can you say amen? Amen. Jesus was a Jew. His disciples were Jews. God still has a plan for the Jews. But we all come in through the same door. There's not separate plans. John 14:6 says, I'm the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes to the Father except through me. Everybody goes through the door of our now together. Those of us who have called on his name and have received his work, his finished work for us, we now grafted in. Israel, do you hear me this morning, Israel? Oh, Israel, do you hear me this morning? Our Messiah. Aren't you glad for Jesus today? All righty. And so we see here that the first thing that he does is he goes in and he cleans the temple. It's as though everything here is prophetic. There's only one who raises the dead. He's foretelling of what's going to take place. He goes in and it's as though he's saying, I'm getting ready to change everything. The temple will no longer be a place built with hands, but it will be where, Ken? Right here. And this thing, this salvation, this redemption, what I'm getting ready to change, the whole system. Remember, he's the one that wept for Jerusalem. He's the one that prophesied. Not one stone will be left laying upon another. This whole system will end by fire. The whole everything. Okay, so this is Jesus. Here he is. And it's as though he's saying this whole system is going to change. What I'm getting ready to do is going to cause the old to pass away, new to be resurrected in full life is a picture of all of us. Aren't you glad for Ephesians 1 that says that it is the exceeding great power of God caused us to be raised together with Christ. Isn't that awesome? The exceeding great power of God raised him from the dead, and God saw us with him. This is why Paul could say in Galatians 2:20, I was crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live, yet not I, but Christ lives in me. And the life that I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith. Can you say faith this morning? I live by the faith of the Son of God. How many are learning some things about faith you didn't know before? Me too. Isn't that great? It's not hard. How many know he says, my yoke is easy and my burden is light? So it's as though he's saying, this new life, this which I'm getting ready, a new covenant which I'm getting ready to ratify, is going to do away with the old temple system, and you will be, as it was prophesied, you will be my people, you're going to be my temple, I'm going to live in you, and this which is coming cannot be bought or sold or earned or bartered. It is a gift, and that's the way it is. And in one and the same, it seems as though it just happened almost simultaneously, healing takes place. Now, I want to take you back to the story we find in Mark chapter 2 from last week, in which there are men, and our, for those that haven't been with us, our theme overall has been faith. How many know the just shall live by faith? Romans chapter 1 verse 17 declares, again, Hebrews and Galatians, the just shall live by faith. How many in here recognize now, by now, the fact that you are just not because of what you do, but because of what you believe? You are just not because of what you but you are just because of what you How many know what just means? Righteous. How are we made righteous? By what we do? Or by what we believe? It is by what we believe. We see again and again, Jesus says, to those who came to him, only believe. He always recognized their faith. Or acknowledged after the fact their faith. We know Scripture tells us all things are possible. Are you here in the house? I'll tell you what, I was back there, I mean, choked up and worshiping, listening to Richie. And it hasn't happened overnight. But all things are possible through him that believeth. And I've watched this young couple hang on through thick and thin. When one was weak, the other was strong. And when the other was weak, the other was strong. And when they both were weak, there were those who stood around them and lifted them. They have not heard judgment over the last however many years. They haven't had their sins pointed out by them that were close to them. They had people speaking to them, hang in there, believe God, he is true. He loves you, he hasn't quit on you. Don't quit on him, for he hasn't quit on you. And it's making the difference. The gospel is being preached. And that's one of many that are to come. I'm so glad for Jesus, aren't you? We see here Jesus coming into Jerusalem. Now here's the deal. It takes just a few days for the whole fevered pitch of Hosanna, Hosanna, Hosanna to turn into crucify him. You know what was at the base of this? We needed a king that could whip Rome's butt. Can I say that in church? We needed a king that would deliver us from this instant. We wanted something manifest in the flesh. We want to see results in the here and now. We want to see happening something right now. We're hurting. We're being held captive by this evil empire. And we need a king who will deliver us. But just as Jesus still does today, write down in your Bible, if you don't already have it right now, Hebrews 13:8 declares He is the same yesterday, today, and forever. Woo! Aren't you glad? How many know that if He saved then, He's still saving now? How many can testify that? If He healed then, He is still a healer now. If He delivered then, He delivers now. If He cast out devils, don't you dare submit to anything the devil sends your way. He's still casting out devils. Here's what people call, I mean, it amazes me. The churches that have backed up and gotten scared of speaking the truth on a Sunday morning. Jesus said in Mark chapter 16, verse 17, they that believe in my name. And he begins to describe what happens. He said, in my name. What's the first one up? Cast out devils. How's that for seeker friendly? There's a major, major good people. They love God. I'm not picking on them. But they've turned balance into a god. And they literally, in a church growth seminar that I was at, said that we should never bring up the blood or Satan in a Sunday morning service. Because it would offend and scare people off. I don't know when the last time was they read their Bible, but Jesus said, here's what I'm telling you, those that believe in my name, here's what they'll do. They'll cast out devils. They'll speak with new tongues. Then it begins to talk about the supernatural lifestyle of the believer. It breaks the norms and speaks of a life of faith. Talking about drink any deadly thing. Serpents and scorpions that won't affect them. The picture of Paul shaking off a snake. You with me? And then it says they'll lay hands on the sick. Are you yawning while I'm preaching? Linda Meeker. Says they'll lay hands on the sick and they shall recover. How many believers we got in the house today? This is the gospel. Don't analyze it. Just do it. How many believers we got? Yeah. Only believe. This is what he's talking about. So anyway, the Jewish nation, they were looking for somebody to vindicate them, to set the record straight, to overcome their enemies, to finally show that their national pride in that we are the Jews and our God is the one true God. And He will vindicate us and smash our enemies and cause us to be great. Here's the deal. Even to this day, here's back to Hebrews 13:8, the same issue is still going on. Sadly enough, even among supposed New Covenant believers. Jesus didn't deal with the symptoms first. A world that was dark and separated from God, Jesus went to the root. He went to the root. He went directly to the need. He went directly to the core of the issue. And He dealt with that. He who was God manifest in the flesh believed in what He set in place from the beginning. Every seed shall produce after its own kind. And the Father sent His Son, the eternal seed, the Word of God, to die and be buried in the ground. He trusted. He is the Lord of the harvest. He trusted. He knew. And the day would come when he would be resurrected by exceeding great power. And for those who have believed, how many believers we got in the house this morning? We've been raised together with him. They wanted a physical outward change. Now, how many know when you get the root, it may take some time, but when you get the root of sin taken care of, when you get things back where they belong, get them centered, get them back on Jesus, how many know that faith, believing, will produce right living? It'll produce outward results. It will change nations. Do you know that there are nations that were completely changed? All of Europe was changed. I didn't say they were all born again, but there were enough people there that were born again in a great move of God that Judeo-Christian ethic permeated a whole region of the world. And there was a moral revival and change, the result of the preaching of the gospel. But the root had to be taken care of first. This is what Jesus did from the very beginning. The road to Emmaus, downtrodden, down. I mean, these men were, everything that he'd said, it seemed like everything had been lost. That this man who had proclaimed himself as one with the Father had lost the battle. Haven't you heard? They killed him. He's dead. It's over. But how many know there was a seed, the eternal seed, the living Word of God? In the beginning was the Word. The Word was with God, and the Word was God. Wasn't going to stay in the ground. How many are glad for that today? Supernatural history. Historians, archaeologists have tried to divide this truth, and the more they dig and the more they find out, the more proven, even through those venues, proven the fact that there was a man sent from God who healed the sick, raised the dead, was resurrected on the third day, and every one of his followers gave their lives for him. That's amazing stuff. But today, we still have even the church saying, we want a king who will fix you on the outside quickly so you don't embarrass the rest of us. We need a king who will set up an earthly kingdom now that causes us to look good before the world. And hold up, we're never going to get there. That way. How many are glad for Jesus today? He dealt with the root. Think of it. It's a reflection of what we talked about several weeks ago. The first time God speaks to Moses when they're thirsty in the desert, he says, Moses, take your rod and strike the rock. And when Moses obeyed God, what happened? Water began to flow from the rock. The next time God speaks to Moses, something has changed. The rock is a picture of Jesus. He who promised that if we drink of his water, we will never thirst again. The rock. How many are glad for the rock today? The true rock. Not the Hollywood rock. The true rock. The rock. The next time God speaks to Moses, Moses' response costs him greatly. Some have said it cost him everything. I don't believe that, because there was a loving hand of the Father that took him and showed him and spoke to him. I think that's so beautiful. What a picture of grace, even under the old law. All of this showing us how faith works. He took him and he showed him the land of promise. But it cost Moses' ability to enter in. And here's what happened. Moses, here's God speak to him this time, and this time God tells Moses, speak to the rock. We've been on it for weeks. Paul says, we believe, therefore we speak. How does salvation come? We confess with our mouth what we have believed in our heart. We have believed, and therefore have we spoken. Paul is quoting King David in Psalms 116. How many know that we can declare a truth revealed and watch God honor His word? Can you say with me today, every time? Can you shout it out this morning? All things are possible. Come on, some of you need to hear that. Some of you have got an absolute tail whipping over the last few weeks. You've gotten some news that has hurt, things that you were believing for, and it seems like everything's going in the opposite direction. Stand and defy. Who are you, you uncircumcised Philistine, to defy the armies of God? You may be shouting, but let me tell you something. I know something you don't. There is one who paid the full price. Stand and believe God. Stand and believe God. Stand and trust Him. I mean, no, He is a rewarder. He is a rewarder. He is a rewarder. Come on, are you here today? He is a rewarder. He is a rewarder. He is a rewarder. Hallelujah. Of those who diligently seek Him. Hallelujah. Man, where do I go with all this? Here's my sermon. I may love Jesus today. Woo! Let me go back. Man still wants something after the flesh to happen. A demand of do or don't do. We compare. We accuse. Or we refrain or back off because we've still been told it took faith to get in Jesus, but it takes you now to stay. My Bible says all the way through, believe. 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 Moses, don't strike this time. Believe. Did you hear what I said, Moses? Talk. But that just doesn't make sense. I hear Pastor Lee saying every week that Proverbs 18:21, death and life are in the power of the tongue, but it seems there's got to be, believe. And speak. Moses says, no, there's got to be more. And he takes up his rod. Listen, you get a picture of the God of the Old Testament? He is so merciful. Moses, in disobedience, picks up a rod. And once again, in direct, open, flagrant disobedience, strikes the rock. And God says, that's it. No water. Die, suckers. Water, once again, issued from the rock. But the lesson behind the scenes was this. The rock is to be struck. There will be many who will continue to strike him unnecessarily. But he was to be smitten once. Once was enough. It is finished. It is complete, the work that I've done. The water is freely flowing. Just speak to the rock. It's enough. We believe. Therefore we speak. Hallelujah. It cost him, Moses, his seeing physically the manifestation of the promise. But how loving God was to take him aside and show him. But the lesson was there for you and I. He is to be smitten once. Now, I've got a question for you. If Paul says about us, and we together with Paul can say, how many this morning, if you haven't put your faith in Jesus, this is the perfect time and place to do that, and we're going to give you an opportunity to do that at the end of the service. But if you've put your faith in Jesus this morning, here's what Scripture says. And I quote it all the time. I hope you're starting to be able to quote it with me. Galatians chapter 2, verse 20. I was crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live. Yet not I, but Christ lives in me. And the life that I now live in the flesh, I live, this life now, I live by the faith of the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. When you put your faith in Jesus, Romans declares that you became, 2 Corinthians 5:17 declares you became a new creature. Romans declares that the old died, was replaced with a completely brand new creation, joined to Jesus to the exclusion of the old. Now, don't be troubled if you put your faith in Jesus and your life is still chaotic, because Romans chapter 12, verses 1 and 2 tells us that that's not a reason to be freaked out. There's a process called renewing your mind to who you have become on the inside. It amazes me how many people still in the church at large don't understand these principles. I've loved teaching in our little Bible school, Spirit, Soul, and Body, a life-changing message which shows us that the inside of you, if you put your faith in Jesus, according to Scripture, not what Lee says, is as pure and righteous as Jesus himself. For he chooses to cohabitate with us. That's miraculous. Because the rest of me does not and will never measure up until this which is corruptible takes on incorruption. But the blood, are you here today? That's why it's faith in his blood that makes a difference. The blood changed all of that. He was my substitution. He was my scapegoat. Upon him, all the wrath of God, righteous wrath of God, totally was exhausted in the Lord Jesus as he hung on the cross. That's why Paul could so boldly say to the Corinthians in 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 21, he who knew no sin became sin for us, so that we arbitrarily, in the same fashion, could become by faith the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. Most of the church world is trying to modify your behavior, to shape you up, to package you up. Cut your hair, grow your hair out, lengthen your sleeves, shorten this, lengthen that, take this off, put this on, do this, go here, be more faithful here. Fast 3 days, now 7, now 40. If you die, you're a martyr. I mean, it just gets crazy, because the devil never, never, never recognizes anything you do as enough, for he is the accuser of the brethren. Yeah. John chapter 10, verse 10, Jesus, the eternal one, the Alpha, the Omega, the one without beginning and end, announces, it is the thief who comes to steal, kill, and destroy, but I have come that you might have life and have it more abundantly. We're talking about faith. Palm Sunday, they wanted an earthly king to deliver them from an earthly curse. He would do that and much more, but he would deal with the root first. He exemplified it in his ministry, Acts 10:38, how Jesus of Nazareth, Acts 10:38, if you're writing notes, Acts 10:38, this is one you need to know, how Jesus of Nazareth went about doing good and healing. Are you here today? Went about doing good He never cursed a man. He never laid hands on them and imparted a sickness. He never brought death. Everything he did, how Jesus of Nazareth went about doing, can you shout it out? Good. Can you say, for the Lord is good and his mercy endures forever. Praise ye the Lord. How Jesus of Nazareth went about doing good and healing all who were oppressed of the devil. He always goes right to the root. Paul says in Romans, death entered the world through the sin of one, the first Adam. But aren't you glad the first Adam wasn't the last Adam? For there was a second Adam, his name was Jesus. And as many as receive the abundance of grace and the gift of righteousness, these will reign in life through the second Adam. How does this come? By faith. Believing. Man, where did the time go? I'm glad for Jesus today. Jesus paid it all to him I owe. Sin had left a crimson stain, but aren't you glad he washed me white as snow? And another old song chorus goes like this, only believe, only believe, all things are possible. Only believe, only believe, only believe, all things are possible, only. And the original text of that goes like this, Lord, so let's make it personal, hear me? Lord, I believe. Lord, I believe. I embrace this truth. All things are possible. Lord, I believe. Lord, I believe. Lord, I embrace everything you've told me. All things are possible. Lord, and you know, there was one who came to him and he said, Lord, help. I believe, but I'm struggling. Help my unbelief. And Jesus said, don't you know the rules? Aren't you glad for Jesus? Hallelujah. Man, if I start on the next part of this sermon, we'll be in here for another hour. Once again, next week, it won't be a normal Resurrection Sunday sermon either, because we're going to keep hitting the issue of faith. Of course, we know what all of this was about. Philippians 3:10, Paul, here's a man who, greatest missionary that ever lived. A Jew called to be a missionary. Large part of his ministry was to the Gentiles. Tremendous man of God. Wrote the majority of what we refer to as the New Testament. And here he is in Philippians 3:10 saying that I may know him and the power of his resurrection, the fellowship of his suffering. How many know there is a suffering for the gospel? Not sickness, not death, not lack, not all the stuff that Jesus paid for, but when you begin to lay claim to the truth of God's word, there will be those who will call you self-righteous. There will be those that say you don't deserve it. There will be those who will be jealous. There will be those that will be angry. There will be those who think you're putting yourself up as a goody-two-shoe. No matter how hard you try to be sympathetic and compassionate, Because your lifestyle before God is either a healing balm, that is Jesus in you, or it's an offense. And don't be surprised by that. It's always been that way. Remember, this same Jesus, let me show you just a few scriptures here. This same Jesus, look at 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 7. 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 7. What am I saying to you who may be here and don't understand all this? God loves you just like you are. Right where you're at, with all of your baggage, you don't have to do a thing, only believe. You who have been taught that you've got to do this and jump through hoops and this and that and the other to receive a healing miracle in your life, I'm here to announce to you that that is all man-made religion. Jesus tells you today, all you got to do is believe. Yes, but I'm not worthy. That's why you qualify. Listen, you start getting in touch with He who is precious. You'll want to do more right than you ever could make yourself do right to get Him to love you. Find out how much He loves you. Begin to walk in that supernatural faith and watch what takes place. He'll take care of this outside as you renew your mind to who He is and what He has already done on the inside of you. Religion will always take you back. Many of you today going home will be thinking, yes, but. That's why you got to keep coming back, because I'm going to take you through the Word. I'm going to take you through the Word. I'm going to show it to you. Listen, last week we ended. I'm not going to have time today. I don't know whether I'll do it next week because of it being Resurrection Sunday. I'd like to somehow. But I'm going to show you that Paul and James are not in conflict. Those of you who recognize the Word of God as the inerrant, perfect, eternal Word of God know that cannot be possible. I'll show you that they're standing back to back declaring the same truth. I'll show you where James speaks of the work of Abraham. Paul speaks of the faith of Abraham, and I'll show you where they're talking about the same thing. Jesus speaks of the work of Abraham as this: Abraham believed God. And he literally calls it a work. I'm going to show that to you in Scripture, that the work that James is talking about is not a work like Paul was talking about. It's another thing altogether. James, who was a Jew with a ministry to the Jews, writing primarily to Jews, a mixed group of those who were unbelieving, just like Hebrews, and those who were writing to a church. I'll show you where he is calling on the same words. Listen, if we've got James and Paul in opposition, which is not true, where do we need to go back to? Jesus. When we get back to the center, we find out that Jesus declared the works of Abraham was believing what God had said was true. I wished we had time to look at it today, but I'll show it to you. It'll bless your socks off. You're going to find out that the works of James have nothing to do with do. They have everything to do with believe. Come on, are you here today believing that what God has said is true? Believing that He does have a plan and a purpose? Believing that He is your healer, that He is your provider, that He is your provider, that He has a good future for you? That Jeremiah 29:11 is not a scripture to tease youth along, hoping maybe it'll work out. It's a scripture for everybody who believes. I know the thoughts that I have for you, says the Lord, thoughts of good and not of evil, a determined end. I'm going to bless your socks off if you'll just trust me. And then he did the heavy lifting through Jesus. Where were we at? First Peter, I never made it. I keep interrupting myself. I can't find First Peter. Can you help me? First Peter chapter 2. I'm just helping those that were doing the same thing I was. Where'd it go? Where'd it go? Okay. 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 7. Let's back up a little bit. You know what? Let's just back all the way up to the beginning of the chapter. I want you to notice he's speaking to believers who are in the process of being renewed. So if you're not perfect this morning and you find yourself in one of these areas, don't give up hope or faith. He's speaking to you. Wherefore, laying aside all malice and all guile, hypocrisies and envies and evil speakings, as newborn babes, read that backwards. As newborn babes, this stuff is still being found among you, and it shouldn't be this way. Let's read a little bit farther. You are born again and one with Jesus, a new creature, but there's some work to be done. Romans 12, 1 and 2. As newborn babes, you, by the grace of God, can lay aside these things. As newborn babes, desire the sincere milk of the word that ye may grow thereby. If so be that you've tasted that the Lord is gracious. How many in here have tasted that the Lord? Oh, come on. What about the rest of y'all? How many have tasted that the Lord is gracious? We need to practice once again. Shout it out, for the Lord is good. And His mercy endures forever. Come on. Hallelujah. All right. If so be that you've tasted that the Lord is gracious. Okay, I'm going to go. To whom coming as unto a living stone, disallowed indeed of men, but chosen of God and precious. Ye also as lively stones are built up a spiritual house, a holy priesthood. He's calling people who still have need to lay aside malice, guile, hypocrisies. Are you here? And evil speakings as babes. So you're if you're involved in that stuff, you're a baby. You're in the right place. Let's grow up together. Grace will help us get rid of it. Believing right will produce right living. Look at what he says. But he said, I'm telling you who you are. You have need to lay some stuff aside, but I'm telling you who you are. Here's who you are. You're a living stone. You're built up as a spiritual house, a holy priesthood, to offer up spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God by who? By you? No, by Jesus Christ. Wherefore also it is contained in the scripture, behold, I lay in Zion a chief cornerstone, elect, precious, and he that believeth on him shall not be confounded, will not be ashamed. Unto you, therefore, which believe. People of God, are you here today? I'm getting ready to dismiss you, but unto you, therefore, who believe, shout believe. Come on, are you here today? Of you, therefore, who believe, he is precious. This is about living relationship, people, not a formula. The law was the ultimate formula. It was perfect. It was righteous, unerring, rigid, and stands eternal for those who are lawless. But for those who are in Christ, we've left the schoolmaster and it entered into relationship. And a new law has been written on fleshy tables of my heart. The law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus that has set me free from the law of sin and death. He says, wherefore also it is contained in the scripture, behold, that's found in Isaiah 28, if you're curious. Can you imagine hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of years before, the men of old, under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, spoke prophetically. I lay in Zion a chief cornerstone, elect, precious, and he that believeth on him will not be ashamed. Unto you therefore which believe, he is precious. Now, this isn't the time really that I want to enter into this subject. We'll get there. Galatians says that faith works by love. And if I see somebody in open, willful, I'm not talking about a struggle where they know what they're doing is wrong. I'm not even talking about somebody who, in the height of passion or temptation or anger or being pulled back, willfully went back and did disaster in their life. But knowing the whole time, when they woke to their senses, they felt horrible. They felt terrible before God. They felt like they'd let themselves down and they'd let everybody out. But somebody who openly and willfully walks in sin and says, I'm in grace. You're not in grace. For those who are in grace see him as precious. Those who are in grace do not revert to a law unto themselves. Are you with me? Now, does it change his love for you? Absolutely not. But don't claim that you're walking in grace if you're walking in open, flagrant rebellion and calling it good. How many know that doesn't work? Are we okay with that? Did I say his love has changed for you? No. Did I say, I just got through saying, does it change who you are in Jesus? No. Does anybody in here have a right to point at anybody else and say, aha, see, there he is, and you're one of the... Excuse me. Let's open your own cloak, see what we got. Otherwise, let's just settle down. Every one of us falls short and are in need of the unmerited favor of God. I'm just saying what Paul says to the Corinthians in 1 Corinthians 5. This brother who calls himself a brother, who is openly bragging about sleeping with his stepmother and saying it's all good. It's all good. It's not all good, guys. Don't you know that you should judge this among yourselves? Don't judge me, brother. I'm in grace. The Bible says, lovingly judge this among yourselves, for you will together with angels judge with Jesus. How did I get on that at 20 till? Now how do I get out of this? What is the matter with me? I'll tell you what's the matter with me. I want you to see that you're doing and you're fooling yourself. Don't work. Go back to the simple truth. Trust him. Believe in him. See him as precious. Look at what he says. Where did it go? I'm in the wrong chapter. Here we go. Unto you therefore which believe, he is precious, but unto them which be disobedient, the stone which the builders disallowed, the same is made the head of the cornerstone, a stone of stumbling and a rock of offense, even to them which stumble at the word, being disobedient, whereunto also they were appointed. Now he's not talking about you being disobedient. How many know all of us are in the process of learning? He's speaking to the nation of Israel and he's saying, you rejected the chief cornerstone, who is precious. This is what he's talking about. But you, listen to what he says about you. But you are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood. This is the same babies that he just got through telling, you need to get rid of this stuff. He's precious. This isn't worth it. Step into grace. Let me tell you who you are. You are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a peculiar people, that you should show forth the praises of him who hath called you out of darkness into his marvelous light, where in times past you were not a people, but are now the people of God. Tap your neighbor. Say, we're the people of God because of what Jesus has done. How many are glad for Jesus today? He is precious. Throughout the scripture, you see Peter preaching in Acts, telling the Jews who he's preaching, this same Jesus who you've seen heal and deliver, he is the one that you rejected. Are you with me? All this is done. All you got to do is trust him. Believe in him. All of this was supposed to be an introduction for me to tell you about Abraham's works. And the point of that is, and we'll end here, where we started a couple weeks ago, go to Mark chapter 2, and then I'm going to cut you loose. Have you enjoyed this morning?
Yes.
You gotten something out of this? All right, that's what matters, Mark chapter 2. Go back to why all this is important. How many got some things you're believing God for? That how many of you got some things you're believing God for? I said, how many of you got some things that you're believing God for? How many got a hold of a promise? How many got a hold of this truth? We believe, therefore we speak. How many are talking different? You can't say it's killing me at the same time you're saying I'm healed. Come on. We believe, therefore we speak. He said, come on, that's silly. What do you mean it's silly? The worlds were framed by words. Your salvation started by grace through faith were you saved. But faith speaks of a heart belief received as you heard the gospel, and your response was, I believe this, and therefore I speak. And the Bible says if we confess with our mouths and believe in our hearts, the Holy Ghost comes in supernaturally with a flood that is unseen and completely washes the old away and establishes a brand new creature. Therefore, if any man is in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things. Hang on, we'll show you what to do about the rest. But this thing of walking in faith, here's why it's important. If you weren't with us the last several weeks, I wanted to point out that healing, provision, everything that was provided through for you through the blood on His cross is the same faith, same way, same time, one and the same with salvation. Jesus, look at Mark chapter 2. And again, when he entered into Capernaum, how many remember this? Into Capernaum after some days, and it was noise that he was in the house, and straightway many gathered together in so much that there was no room to receive them. No, not so much as about the door. And he preached the word. That's what we're doing this morning. Lifting your hearts, unveiling Jesus, helping you get the religion off, helping you see the purity of who he is once again, daring to believe that he is able. He is able. He is able. Aren't you glad for who he is? For us, in us, and through us. Look at what he says. He preached the word. Verse 2, and straightway many were gathered together in so much that there was no room to receive them. No, not so much as about the door. And he preached the word unto them. And they came unto him bringing one sick of the palsy, which was born of four. And when they could not come nigh unto him for the press, they uncovered the roof where he was. And when they had broken it up, they let down the bed wherein the sick of palsy lay. And when Jesus saw... And I know I'm repeating myself, but I'm doing it on purpose. First off, if you heard it once, you need to hear it again. If you haven't heard it, you need to hear it the first time. And when Jesus saw who they were and that they were connected to a big name and an elite family in the community. Oh, okay, then let's try this. And when Jesus saw how much effort they had put into getting this guy there, they were working hard, sweat, man. No, when Jesus saw their
faith.
Come on, let's get it right. When Jesus saw their
faith,
that's all he looked at. Now that's big because look what happens. When Jesus saw their faith, he said unto the sick of palsy, son, thy sins? I know I'm repeating for 3/4 of you, but listen. Let it get from here to here. Thy sins?
That's right.
Wait a minute. He needs healed.
Yeah.
Yes. But he didn't ask for forgiveness. The dude was let down through. He's sick of palsy, man. There's disorder in his body. He's dying. What are you talking about? Your sins be forgiven? He needs healing. Yes. If I can help you over the next few weeks as we're on this journey of faith to begin to erase the demonic wall that has been built by the church and preachers just like me, as we with fervor and sincere hearts laid you down, loaded you down with religion and dues and took away the belief, it is one and the same to forgive, to heal. It is no different to him. A new and living way. There were certain of the scribes. There's always somebody religious. There's always a critic. How many know it's always easy to be a critic? Anybody can criticize. There were certain scribes sitting there and reasoning in their hearts. Why doth this man thus speak blasphemies? Who can forgive sins? Only God. Listen to the denial. And immediately when Jesus perceived in the spirit that they so reasoned within themselves, he said unto them, why reason ye these things in your hearts? Whether is it easy to say to the sick of palsy, thy sins? Listen to what he says. What is the difference? What's easier? What difference is there? Whether is it easier to say to the sick of palsy, thy sins be forgiven thee, or to say, arise and take up thy bed and walk? To me, it's all the same. If you have faith for salvation, you have faith for every deliverance in your life. Only believe. Trust him. We believe, therefore we speak. Begin to declare. Speak. Some of you, I can hear it. It's exciting to me because through the work, even though we've had some heavy Sundays, it's starting to get in there again and you're starting to change. You listen, you get your mouth right and get it lined up with the Word of God and begin to renew your mind and the seat of your belief. Line it up with who you really are. Watch and see what God's beginning. It doesn't happen overnight. Rahab was a prostitute. How's that for your religion? And she's counted in the lineage of our Savior and Messiah, Jesus Christ, simply because she believed while she was still a prostitute. In time, her belief led her away from it, but it took time. Her belief was justified, the scripture says, when she hid the spies. And as a result of believing, something changed in her system. And she began to search for a new people, a new system, a new kind of mate, and found one in Israel who saw beyond the now and married her. As I ended last week, I'm ending again this week. I want to drive the point home. Their marriage produced Boaz, who married Ruth, who now is part of the lineage of our Jesus, who is saying to you once again this morning as last week, your past doesn't mean anything anymore, only your future. All things are possible to him that believes. Believe him for good bones, good back, good mind, good nervous system, good blood, good mates, good future, good marriage. Come on, people, you're here today. Believe him, for he is faithful. Whew, I got to need an umbrella, don't I? I'm sorry, guys. I need a drink of water. I pray in Jesus' name that as we lay this on, layer by layer, it's getting through. He is good, and his mercy endures forever. You can trust him. You ready for a shocker? You can trust him with anything and everything. Your deepest, most intimate, guarded, failure, you can trust Him that He loved you. And because He loved you when you were messed up, you can bet your boots He loves you now and sees you in Jesus. We've separated miracles from salvation. What difference does it make? How many are looking forward? Stop. Caught you. I'm sorry. That was a trick question. I didn't mean to do that to you, but we need to begin to say what you have said is true. I'm not kicking the can down the road anymore. You said it. You remember the old bumper sticker? God said it, I believe it, and that settles it. Here's the new bumper sticker. God said it, that settles it. We can trust Him. Hallelujah. Aren't you glad for Jesus? I don't know where to stop, so I'll just quit right there. Let me pray for you. Can I pray for you? Join hands with the one who came with you this morning. I don't expect you to join hands with a stranger. I understand how that works, but join hands with those you came with this morning. Father, we thank You today for Jesus. We thank You that as Paul laid it out, if Jesus is allowed to be unveiled, here is the truth. He said it. Ye shall know the truth, and the truth will set you free. The truth for many of us in the past is, brother, the truth is you don't measure up. Sister, the truth is you deserve where you're at. The truth is if you'll just be more faithful. The truth is you've been disobedient, and if you'll get yourself in a position and be more obedient. The truth, and it just goes and it just deepens. And listen, here is the truth. Believe in the one who is righteous. If God were to judge you for your sin, He would have to apologize to Jesus, who suffered horribly for the sin of mankind. It is finished. Here's the thing. In one and the same breath, He says, your miracle resides in this simple truth. Believe. Believe. Only say, Pastor Lee, that is so. What are you talking about? Trust Him. We believe, therefore we speak. Begin to say some things. I can hear somebody in here right now. Not what you're saying right now, but the words have rolled over and over in your mind. I hate myself. I hate myself. It would be better for others if I weren't even alive. I'd take my own life, but I'm afraid I'll go to hell. I hate me. I hate life. It's like the old George Strait song. I hate everything. There's a lot of people live there, but I can hear it rolling right now in somebody's mind. And I'm here to tell you, that is the voice of the enemy. And right now over you, I arrest that. Come on, people, would you pray with me? I arrest that spirit of suicide. I arrest that spirit of deception. For in Him, your belief in Him, who you were, has nothing to do with who you are in Him. Trust Him. He is still a rebuilder. He is still a rewarder. Come on, are you here today? He loves you. His plan has not changed. Reach out and trust Him today. Some of you in here, you're believing God for a miracle. You disqualify yourself because of your behavior. Yes, I'm giving you permission to cast whatever that is aside and simply trust Him. Listen, man, you trust Jesus and watch Him come through like a flood. You won't have to worry about your behavior. For He is precious, and I must quit. Father, we thank You today for supernatural healing. Are you here today? Supernatural healing in the heart of these women specifically. A supernatural work in all of our hearts as we cease from do and enter back in to believe. For You, can you lift up your hands today all over the room? For Jesus, You are precious. Who is the author and the finisher of my faith? You can't talk like this. Listen, people, we've already seen it. A smattering and a scattering of incredible miracles. You should hear some of the stuff that people come through the week. It's become commonplace. But listen, I'm talking about holes in hearts closing up. Pain that's been there for years ceasing and not coming back. Okay, we've got these kinds of things. But listen, when we begin to allow a culture of faith like this and we get back centered on Jesus, get ready, because He's promised that He confirms His word with signs and wonders. So like little children together, let's delight ourselves in the Lord. And watch as He gives us the desires, Psalms 37:4, the desires of our hearts. As He is exalted, as we put His word to the test and watch Him do the impossible. Are you ready? Three of you. Are you ready? As we trust God together for great things, individually in your lives. Put a guard on your mouth. Prophesy over your future. Prophesy over the struggle. Do like God did and call light out of darkness. In Jesus' name. And everybody shouted amen. Amen. And amen. Let's stand to our feet this morning.